Here we go on this week's edition of the Four Verticals Podcast, Episode 11. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. A lot to get into tonight, including our weekly picks. Went 4-6 last week, looking to bounce back this week as we fell below 500 on the season. We pick our games against the spread. Four Big 12 games, six games nationally. Not as many big-time ones this week, but we found 10 names. We'll pick them toward the end of the podcast here. A couple of things to get into this segment, including a story from the Red River rivalry in 1999, a story that you won't believe. We'll get into that. Also, this edition's game involving two top 20 teams, number 7 Oklahoma and number 19 Texas, perhaps the biggest Red River rivalry in the last 10 years or so. We'll take a look back at some of the recent ones and how it shows that this is probably the most significant one in a long time. Tom Herman seems to be getting Texas back on track. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. But first, we got to go back to last week, and there's a lot of things we could talk about last week, both in and out of the Big 12. TCU, for example, may have lost its quarterback, Sean Robinson, for a long time. Alan Bowman left Texas Tech's game with a partially collapsed lung. He just got out of the hospital. Clemson survived against Syracuse. There's a lot of things we could discuss, but on a limited time, I only want to make time for this. Penn State, Ohio State. And if you didn't see it, it's probably a good thing, because for the second straight year, Penn State let a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter slip away against Ohio State, this time at home. So the Nittany Lions are up 26-14 with 8 minutes left. They punch it in on a Miles Sanders one-yard run to go up 26-14. Two-point conversion was no good. That ended up being significant later in a 27-26 loss, because Ohio State would go down, only took a minute 17 for them to score, made it 26-21. Penn State had to punt the football away. Then Ohio State scored again on a touchdown to K.J. Hill, who is one of their terrific receivers, of course. They take the lead 27-26. Two-point conversion was no good, so they're up three. Penn State gets the ball back. In this game, Trace McSorley was the best player on the field. 16-32, 286 yards, two touchdowns, 25 carries, 175 yards on the day as well. Career high in total yardage, career high in rushing yardage. He was doing it all for Penn State. Miles Sanders only had 16 carries for 43 yards. Did have the one touchdown I just mentioned, but Trace McSorley was making it happen for Penn State, especially when plays were breaking down, which happened quite a bit behind that average offensive line. So let's fast forward again. Down 27-26, final drive, about a minute 20 left. Penn State uses a timeout. Ohio State uses a timeout. They're kind of playing, you know, a chess match back and forth. This is after Penn State has moved the ball to the Ohio State 43. It's 4th and 5. 4th and 5, and a grand play before 3rd and 14, Trace McSorley ran a zone read keeper for 9 yards. Clearly, the design was to get some of the yardage back. 4th and 5, after both teams use timeouts, they're adjusting to what each other's lining up with. What does James Franklin and Penn State dial up? They do a zone read handoff to Miles Sanders. Stuffed, -2, game over. That is one of the worst calls I have ever seen for a lot of reasons, and I'll tell you why. First of all, it's 4th and 5. You don't hand the ball off on 4th and 5. Second of all, minute 20 to go. You're not running the football. Even if you get the first down, the clock's working against you at this point. Third reason, and the most important reason of all, your quarterback, Trace McSorley, who's never lost at home, by the way, Heisman Trophy candidate, has been the best player on the field and is your best player, and you take the ball out of his hands. How do you do that? How do you do that on a 4th and 5 on your biggest game of the season, and probably the game that will be the biggest in the Big Ten this year when it comes to the college football playoff? Because I think Ohio State will be pretty easily favored from here on out. I know they got to play Michigan. They got to play Michigan State. Probably Wisconsin, the Big Ten title game. But none of those teams posed the challenge that Penn State did on Saturday night. You probably heard James Franklin go on his epic rant after the game saying that we've made this a great program, but we just got beat by an elite program. Well, you know what? You know why you're not elite? Because you make calls like that. You can't call a zone handoff on 4th and 5 to your sophomore running back when you have Trace McSorley, who's had over 400 yards of total offense on the night. Miles Sanders was averaging 2.7 yards per carry on the night, and you handed the ball off on 4th and 5 with probably the Big Ten on the line. That's a horrible call. I'm not going to say it's a fireable offense. James Franklin's one of the best coaches in college football, and he's done magnificent things at Penn State in his few years there. He's turned that thing around quickly. But my goodness, man. They've lost 4 games out of their past 38, I believe. It's either 28 or 38. They've lost only 4 of them, all by single digits. They're not making the big plays in the big games. You remember a couple years ago in the Rose Bowl against USC? Up 2 touchdowns in the 4th, they lose by 3 points. They're not winning these games. Last year, they lose to Michigan State by 3. Last year, they blow a double-digit lead against these same Ohio State Buckeyes. This time, they get the marquee matchup at home, don't get it done. Just goes to show the Big Ten still runs through Ohio State. Like I mentioned, from here on out, I fully expect Ohio State to take care of business in the Big Ten. They go to Michigan State in November, and then they finish up with Michigan at home on November 24th before the Big Ten title game. That's really their only challenges left. Next 3 weeks, Indiana, Minnesota at Purdue, then Nebraska at home, and then the final 3 at Michigan State, at Maryland, Michigan at home. They're chilling for a while. Penn State's going to need some sort of a miracle, probably a 3-way tie in the Big Ten in which they beat Michigan and Michigan beats Ohio State. That's really their only hope. And that's a shame, man, because they really controlled this game. I like what Trace McSorley's all about. I like James Franklin as a head coach, but they blew this, man. Not only did they blow the lead, they blew their chance to win it after blowing that lead, and they make a call like that. 4th and 5, you hand the ball off to Miles Sanders when you have Trace McSorley, who's had over 400 yards on the evening. 450 yards on the evening. Don't get it. I would have done some sort of a run-pass option for McSorley. Get him out on the edge. If the scramble's there for the first down, take it. If not, let him throw the ball. Mind-boggling call from Penn State with maybe their national championship hopes on the line on Saturday night. Fast-forwarding now, as we move forward to week 6, this is the Four Verticals podcast. Big game of the week, Red River rivalry, and it's been a while. Number 19, Texas. Number 7, Oklahoma. College game day will be there. Fox and the boys will have the call. Gus Johnson, Joel Klatt, they'll be there. Fox is doing a pregame show there at the fair as well. It's going to be wild here in Dallas. And I was curious, I was thinking about this. Obviously, you know, when you just think about it on the top of your head, it's been a while since Texas OU has had a lot of significance. But I went to look up the recent games. OU's won 6 out of 8. Texas won in 2013 and in 2015, both as unranked opponents against top 12 Oklahoma teams. But those games weren't even, you know, didn't have significant meaning. This one does. And for the first time since probably, 2012, they were top 15 teams, but Texas ended up fading down the stretch of the year. I think they went 8-4, probably since 2009, when Texas played for the national championship game with Colt McCoy. Texas beat Oklahoma 16-13. Obviously, the year before I went to that game, the only Texas OU game I've been to, when Texas beat number 1 Oklahoma 45-35, and OU ended up rallying and getting back to the national championship game, winning that 3-way tie between Texas, Oklahoma, and Texas Tech. That, of course, being in the 2008 season. But since 2008-09, there hadn't been a game of this significance in this rivalry since really in the last decade. And I'm not saying that because I think Texas is a legitimate contender yet, but I do think they're starting to turn that corner. I think since the Maryland loss, they've really played a lot better. Sam Ellinger's not turning the football over. I said it last week on this podcast. I think Tom Herman's doing a nice job of instilling it with him that, dude, just don't turn the ball over, manage these games, and we can win a lot of games. Now, that's going to be different this week. the way Kyler Murray is slinging it around and running around, and you got Trey Sermon in the backfield, obviously CeeDee Lamb, Marquise Brown out wide, they're going to put up some points. And yeah, the Texas defense is pretty good, but I would guess that OU is going to score in the 30s. I'm not sure Texas can score in the 30s. So the playing it safe, the getting the early lead and trying to run out the 60 minutes, that can work in Manhattan against a down Kansas State team where they get up 19-0 last week and survive 19-14. That formula is not going to beat OU this week. I'm not saying you can't try to control the clock and limit the possessions, because I think that's what they should do, trying to establish a run game and put Sam Ellinger in some winning positions. But it's not as simple as you can just get a lead and run the clock out. Oklahoma's going to hit some big plays. There's no doubt about that. Now, I'm not saying they're going to drop a 50 spot on them. I think the Texas defense is too good for that. But 35 points, 38 points, 31 points, I think that's pretty reasonable. In fact, I think if Texas holds OU under 35, they've done a good job. That's how good this offense has been. Can Sam Ellinger match Kyler Murray punch for punch? I'm not sure that he can. Tom Herman's going to have to let Sam Ellinger cut it loose at times this weekend if they're going to beat Oklahoma, in my opinion. Now, they were able to kind of play that defensive chess match against TCU and just win the turnover battle. Kyler Murray and Oklahoma are much more efficient than TCU and Kansas State with the way they're moving the football. Chunk plays, vertical plays, running, passing, side to side, vertically, intermediate, dynamic offense with Lincoln Riley up there in Oklahoma. It's going to be a tough challenge for Texas, but you know, I think they can keep this one close, and I'll make my official pick in the next segment. OU 8-point favorites. I think that, you know, I think that's about right. I'd say somewhere between 8-12 is probably a reasonable line. I think Oklahoma is the better team. I'm just curious to see how much Tom Herman lets Sam Ellinger cut it loose in a game that they're going to have to put up points against Oklahoma. Now, one more twist on the Red River rivalry that I have to mention here. And if you haven't read this, you really need to. Jake Trotter of ESPN.com does a great job covering the Big 12 and college football. Wrote this story today. And again, ESPN.com, I encourage you to check it out. It's called The Untold Story of Mike Leach's Lost OU Play Script That Fooled Texas. And I'm not going to go through this bullet point by bullet point, but basically, Mike Leach was the offensive coordinator under Bob Stoops at the time. Actually, I'm not sure if Stoops was there yet. Doesn't matter. He was the offensive coordinator for OU as Texas at the time was clearly the better team. I'll just put it that way. So Leach, and yes, Stoops was there. I'm reading it now. Stoops was the head coach. I think it was his first or second year. I think it was his first year. Leach, and he did this without even telling Stoops, basically came up with a decoy game plan, a script. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, a lot of coaches script the first couple of series where they try to get their offense into a rhythm. He made a decoy script, and this is classic Mike Leach, by the way. And he gave it to one of his players who tucked it somewhere in his jersey and purposefully knocked it out but just kept running during warmups. And a Texas assistant coach picked it up, their defensive coordinator, and basically altered their entire defensive game plan to try and adjust to this. Well, let's just say it did not work, because everything that Leach dialed up on the fake game plan is not what they did. And Oklahoma took an early 17-0 lead in this one before Texas ditched that initial game plan where they altered, trying to adjust to this fake scheme. Anyway, Texas ended up winning the game 38-28 after they found out or realized that this was a hoax of an offensive game plan from Oklahoma and Mike Leach. But nonetheless, I highly encourage you to read this story. It's hilarious. Seth Luttrell, the North Texas head coach, is involved in this story. Tom Herman is involved, as he was a grad assistant at Texas. Lots of moving parts here. And if you just read this thing, you just look at the names, you're like, wow, that is classic stuff. Ahmad Brooks gets brought up. There's a lot of good stuff in the story. Again, Texas ended up winning the game, but OU pulled a fast one against Texas, and it almost cost the Horns in that game back in 1999. I encourage you to read Jake Trotter's piece on ESPN.com to get some good nuggets there. Texas OU, nothing really like it. I think it's one of the few games where a neutral site makes sense. Florida, Georgia, Army, Navy, two of the other ones. Texas OU is quite a spectacle, though, man. I went in 2008. It's the only time I've been in person to that game. State Fair, you got to get a Fletcher's Corn Dog. It's good stuff, man. When you watch it on TV, half crimson, half burnt orange, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And it's a big game for both these schools. I think for the Big 12, it's better if the best result is if Oklahoma wins a tight game against Texas. You know, comes down to the wire, OU finds a way to win late. I think that's the best result because it does two things. One, it shows that Texas might be legit, and, you know, maybe if they're not a conference contender this year, maybe next year they are. If nothing else, they're a top 25 team. But what it mostly does is it keeps Oklahoma firmly in the college football playoff race, and I think that's important for the Big 12. Oklahoma and West Virginia need to keep winning and have other teams across the country lose. So that's where we are with that. Funny story there from involving Mike Leach and Jake Trotter. Again, Penn State, just can't believe that play call against Ohio State last week. Looks like the Buckeyes are going to run through the Big Ten East now, at least up until November. So that's where we are with that. A couple of nuggets from the Big 12 I mentioned earlier. Sean Robinson had a shoulder injury in their win over Iowa State for TCU. His status is unknown. Texas Tech quarterback Alan Bowman just released from the hospital today. He had a partially collapsed lung in their loss against West Virginia. We'll update his status next week. Hopefully he gets back on track and back on the field soon. His health, obviously, most important. West Virginia ended up winning that game 42-34, obviously. But Texas OU, that's what it's all about. That's what this week's podcast is mostly about. That's probably what it'll be about next week when we break it down. So let's give our picks for Texas OU and all of our picks. We do that next here on the Four Verticals Podcast as I pick 10 games against the spread here on the Four Verticals Podcast. Putting a wrap on episode 11 of the Four Verticals Podcast. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. Wrap things up the same way we always do as we make our weekly picks, week six picks this week. Went 4-6 last week, bit of a setback. Now 24-26 against the spread on the year. Looking to bounce back this week, creep back, and hopefully get above that 500 mark. Only four Big 12 games this week as TCU and Texas Tech have their bye weeks before they, of course, play next Thursday night in Fort Worth. So we've got four Big 12 games, six national games, so we'll get to those here in a minute. But starting in the Big 12, it's the game of the week, not just in the Big 12, but nationally. It's the Red River Shootout. Number 19, Texas. Number 7, Oklahoma. Probably the biggest game between these two since Colt McCoy was on campus in Austin. Texas coming in at 4-1. Oklahoma still unbeaten. Sooners 8-point favorites in this game. Already talked about this matchup in the last segment. I like that 8-point line for Oklahoma just because they're so explosive offensively. Kyler Murray with what they're doing at receiver with Marquise Brown and CeeDee Lamb. The Rodney Anderson injury has been a bit noticeable, but I think Kyler has made up for some of that running the football. Trey Sermon's done a good job. Some of those other backs, they're working in and out. I like OU something like 34-23. I think Texas's defense will make some plays, but ultimately OU's going to hit a couple of big ones. And for the Texas offense, their strategy the last three or four or five games, and I've talked about it the last couple of weeks, is just kind of try and get an early lead and don't turn the football over. That's been Tom Herman's strategy with Sam Ellinger. Let's run the football. Let's not turn it over. That's not going to be good enough against Oklahoma. You're going to have to sustain some drives and put up some points to upset the Sooners in Dallas. I don't think they're going to be able to put up enough. I think Texas battles, but I think Oklahoma wins and is able to cover the 8 points on Saturday. Give me the Sooners 34-23. Up in Morgantown, West Virginia gets into the top 10 this week after their win in Lubbock. Number 9 is they're hosting the Kansas Jayhawks. Mountaineers, 28.5-point favorites. I like West Virginia big in this one. Four touchdowns feels a little low at home. If it was in Lawrence, maybe a bit different story. I think 52-10, Will Grier, huge day, probably over 400 yards, maybe even 500. Get the backups in there. David Sills is going to shred this Kansas defense. West Virginia rolls, keeps their undefeated season going. They rolled the Jayhawks on Saturday. Moving over to Stillwater, number 25, Oklahoma State. They host Iowa State. Cowboys, 10.5-point favorites, still trying to figure this team out. They looked good early on, had the blowout win over Boise State. Get drilled by Texas Tech, kind of come out a little bit lethargic last week against Kansas before winning 48-28. Iowa State, I know they're just 1-3. I think they're a better football team than that, though. I think they've been competitive. They only lost by 10 to OU, only lost by 3 last week in Fort Worth to TCU, just the 10-point loss to Iowa. So they've been competitive, but they have to start winning these games. I don't know if they win on Saturday. I think they keep it closer than 10.5 because I think TCU is probably as good of a team as Oklahoma State. So I don't see any reason why Iowa State can't hang with the Cowboys. I'll pick Oklahoma State to win. I think Iowa State keeps it close, though. I think they cover. Baylor hosting Kansas State, and the Bears 4-point favorites in this one. Real interesting game here. Kansas State is desperate for a win. They battled in the second half with Texas last week, but couldn't quite muster that game-winning score in a 19-14 loss. Still having issues at quarterback. Alex Delton, Skylar Thompson, they keep going back and forth. Bill Snyder got a little testy with the media this week when asked and pressed about the quarterback situation. Pretty rare territory for him to snap back in some of the comments he made. I think they're going through some things. I think Matt Rhule picks up a big win here and gets Baylor to their fourth win of the season to 4-2. Gets them on track to try and get to those 6 wins and get to a bowl game. Give me Baylor. I think they cover the 4. I think they win at home. Shifting gears to some national games, had to really dig deep here. Not a lot of big games outside of the Big 12 this week. There are a couple, though. But we'll start in the Big 10. Number 15, Michigan, playing host to the Maryland Terrapins. Maryland, as you know, 3-1, has that win over Texas. 17.5-point dogs at Michigan. I don't trust Michigan completely. I think they're going to win at home, but 17.5 feels a little big to me. Maryland can play a little bit. They can move the ball offensively. I think they can play within 17.5. Michigan struggled last week against Northwestern. Michigan wins. Maryland covers the 17.5. This is the big game in the SEC this week. Number 5 LSU at number 22 Florida. Tigers 2.5-point favorites. Another opportunity for Ed Orgeron to get a marquee win. Florida coming off that win against Mississippi State. Dan Mullen seems to be getting them back on track. I don't think they're quite ready to contend in the SEC East with the likes of Georgia and obviously Kentucky, who they obviously lost to. But I think it's probably a 7-8, maybe a 9-1 team he's got at Florida. I think LSU wins, though. I think they continue to show that they're legit and that they perhaps might be a challenge to Alabama and Georgia later in the season. I'm not quite ready to say that. I am ready to say that they are better than Florida, though. 2.5-point favorites in the swamp. I think LSU gets this done, probably by about 10. I think 24-13 feels right. Joe Burrow makes just enough plays. Florida's still struggling offensively. I don't think they can get enough points. Give me LSU in this one. Big game in College Station as Texas A&M looked really lethargic against Arkansas at AT&T Stadium last week. Just a 24-17 win against the lowly Razorbacks. They host number 13 Kentucky. You heard that right. Benny Snell and company getting things done there. Mark Stoops doing a hell of a job. Snell, one of the better running backs in college football. Probably the best that no one knows about. He's having a huge season the Wildcats. I think Kentucky goes in there and wins. They're 6-point dogs. I like that line for them. They're playing good defense. Be a pretty solid South Carolina team. 24-10 last week. Pretty comfortable win against South Carolina. I think Kentucky travels to College Station. I think they get this done. I think they not only they cover, they win this one straight up. Something low scoring. 24-20, 27-24, something like that. I think Kentucky knocks off Texas A&M and gives Jimbo Fisher a bit of a setback. Last game in the SEC this week, number 8 Auburn, 4-point favorites at Mississippi State. I don't know why Auburn's the number 8 team in the country. They struggled for a lot of the game against Southern Miss last week. Haven't been impressed with them since their win against Washington. They've kind of just been sleepwalking through this thing. Another chance to get back on track. You go to Starkville and win comfortably, that would be a little bit more impressive, although Mississippi State's kind of on the downward trend right now as well. I think Auburn covers that 4-point spread. Jarrett Stidham, Nick Fitzgerald, these guys need to pick up their play if they want to get their respective schools back into this. This is kind of a make-or-break week for both of these programs. Give me Auburn, though. I think they go on the road. They have more talent. They beat Mississippi State. They cover the 4 points on Saturday. Big game involving the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. They've turned to Ian Book at quarterback. Brandon Winbush wasn't getting things done. The last couple of weeks, Book's done a really good job. Really impressed with Notre Dame and their win over Stanford last week. Just blew the doors off them. I did not see that one coming at all. 38-17. Number 24, Virginia Tech. I don't know how the hell these voters put them back in the polls after you lose to Old Dominion. Old Dominion's 1-4. They've only beaten Virginia Tech. Look at some of the losses they have. They're a bad football team. Not sure why Virginia Tech's ranked, but here they are. They're 4-1, and they're in the top 25. I think Notre Dame wins this one and covers. Notre Dame's getting 6 points in this one, or giving 6 points, I should say, six-point favorites at Virginia Tech. I think they cover that fairly easily. I like what Book's doing. I think they win by a couple of touchdowns. Give me Notre Dame to top Virginia Tech and firmly get into the college football playoff conversation. Last game, a little Pac-12 after dark. I think I'm going to make this a weekly thing on the picks of the weekly Pac-12 after dark game. Number 14, Stanford, looking to bounce back. They host Utah. Utah desperate for a win. They're 2-3. 2-2, I should say. 0-2 in Pac-12 play. Lost a tough game against Washington State last week. I think Stanford Bryce Love has a breakout game for Stanford. He's had a bit of a slow start to his senior campaign. I think Stanford rolls. Give me the Cardinal as they win and they cover against Utah this week. So that's my picks. Little rapid fire again. I like OU over Texas covering the 8. West Virginia, they cover the 28.5 as they roll over Kansas. Oklahoma State, Iowa State. Oklahoma State wins, but Iowa State covers. They don't lose by more than 10. Baylor covers the 4 and they win. Michigan State, they beat Michigan, I should say, they beat Maryland, but Maryland covers the 17.5. LSU wins and they cover the 2.5 that they're favored by. A&M, they're favored by 6, but Kentucky wins straight up. Auburn's favored by 4 at Mississippi State. I think Auburn wins and covers. Notre Dame, 6-point favorite at Virginia Tech. I think they win. Stanford wins and covers as well. So those are my picks for week 6, 24-26 overall, 4-6 last week, looking to go at least 6-4 this week to get back to 500 on the season through 6 weeks. That's going to wrap things up for this edition of the Four Verticals podcast. We'll be back next week, break down all things Texas OU, look ahead to week 7, Texas Tech and TCU, a couple of teams in the Big 12 needing a big win. They've got that marquee matchup on Thursday night next week. We'll take a look ahead to that one, talk all things Big 12. We'll look nationally and make our picks again next week as well. Until then, remember, as always, when in doubt, always go deep.